every member of the church. We all have a role of service to play. Another favourite quote of mine. This you will find at St Mary's Hospital in London, outside the lab where Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. Whatever you do, it should be to the glory of God and for the benefit of all the people you come in contact with. This is the theology bit. I've even brought my laser pen. Isn't that good? Anyway, this door here represents acceptance by God, which is obviously something we're all after. And people have this assumption that it works like this, is that as these footprints represent your good works, you get closer to God. And eventually, if you do enough good works, you get accepted by God. There's a couple of problems with that. The most important one is it's not true. But if you noticed how there's no security. For example, as I'm sure you know, Jenny is very kind, very caring, does all the right things. But just last Thursday, she hit one of the other T1 leaders. And anyone who suggests that he deserves it is lying. And see, the problem with this good works theology is you go straight back to the beginning. There's no security whatsoever. If you have to earn your way to God, it's never going to work. You just have to start again. But that's not actually what the Bible teaches. That is simply religion. Christianity, biblical Christianity, looks like this. Once again, the door of acceptance by God. A Christian is someone who's already accepted by God. And any good works you do are out of thankfulness and of thanksgiving, and never to act in response to the love of Christ. This is a image of the cross, one of literally thousands that have been made over the last 2,000 years. But it's just to say, if you remember what Jesus has done for you, surely it's inevitable we want to do things for him. So, going back to the authentic slides, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's what we're here for. Interesting verse from Job. "Your hands shaped me and made me." You are an individual. The ministry God has for you is for you, not for anybody else. And our memory verse for the week. Each one should use whatever gift he's received. Notice how Peter just assumes everyone has a gift. There's no one without one. What's wrong is not to use it. So, picking up the series, our fourth purpose is to serve God by serving others. I recently picked up the book on the film Amazing Grace, and the dedication in front of it is very interesting. It's dedicated to what's called the Clapham sect. That's a group of Christians that William Wilberforce belonged to. And it says, who didn't distinguish between their love of God and their love of their fellow man. I think that fits very nicely with what Jesus commanded. If you love God, you will love those around you. It will be inevitable that you'll serve others. Jesus himself said, your attitude must be like my own. The Son of God didn't come to be served. So, first thing you need to do is be available. Interesting story that the For Today's Purpose series picks here. Two blind men shouted, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them, what do you want me to do for you? So we have Jesus busy, obviously, walking down the road. Obviously on his way to do something important. A couple of blind men shout out, help us. Jesus just walks up, now hang on. Jesus stopped. Jesus was completely available. Whatever else he was doing, he was completely available. And there was a need that he could meet. Never tell your neighbours to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Some barriers that stop us from serving, that stop us from fulfilling our ministries. I think it's very easy to be me-focused. It's very natural. It's very human. But we are all one body. We belong to each other, as we said. But also there's a world out there that desperately needs to know about Jesus. If we are disciples, as we were looking at last week, then we will do what Jesus did. We will think what Jesus did. Jesus' overwhelming passion was to reach people with the love of God. No self-centeredness there. Perfectionism. In the words of Ecclesiastes, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. I think we've all heard this. Oh yes, once I've got this, once I've done this, once this is sorted out, then I'll take up a role and do my bit. Wherever you are now, God has work for you to do. He knows you're not perfect, he knows it better than you do. And materialism. The very famous words of Jesus, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both money and God. For serving God, everything else comes second. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. Fascinating prayer in John 11. John 11, as you may remember, is one of my favourite sections of the Bible. Just as he's about to bring Lazarus back to life, Jesus says this prayer. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. Serving like Jesus means being thankful. God has done everything for you. How can we not be serving? It's what James 2 is all about. Faith without deeds is worthless, because if you have faith, if you have any understanding of what God has done for you, it's inevitable that you'll want to respond. Hung on the wall of this church, like so many, is a representation of the cross. We can grasp even the tiniest amount of what that means. Our response would inevitably be love and a completely willing heart. Hence, we serve the Lord with gladness, not because we have to, but because we want to. And it's He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserved it, because that was His plan. He's got work for you to do, just you. I think we see a lot of this in the modern church. The ministry of discouragement is alive and well. Romans 14:4, who are you to criticize someone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. Whatever God has given you to do, get on and do it. Don't complain that it's not what someone else is doing. Don't be critical of how well someone else is doing. That's your ministry. Comparisons aren't biblical. The only person who gets to judge is the only one who's qualified to judge. I'm going to use a very silly illustration here, and shortly two people will understand why. I want to talk about Jenny's leftover chickpeas. That's £10 you owe me, Dave. We had a meal on Tuesday evening, and there were six of us, and Jenny is vegetarian. Obviously, we're praying for her. But, you know, there is actually quite a good biblical case for being vegetarian, but that's for another time. Dave prepared a fantastic meal for all of us, and we all had chicken and fantastic sauce. It was great. But Jenny, being awkward, had to have something vegetarian, so she had chickpeas with something done, and it wasn't just chickpeas out of a tin. At least Dave says it wasn't. There was quite a lot left over because he made too much, so the rest of us finished it off. Now, we could do that. We could finish that off. But it was more suited to Jenny, because it was made specially for her. Your ministry is made specially for you, and it will work best if you're doing it. If you're not doing it, it will get picked up by others to some extent. But God knows what He's doing. Your ministry is for you. You should be doing your ministry, doing your bit, and not leaving others to eat up the chickpeas. Wrong motivations. When you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get reward from your Father in heaven. I'm sure we're all familiar with the NIV version of this. What more motivation do you need? It's not about making yourself more acceptable to God. It's about an act of thankfulness. Serving like Jesus means being faithful. I think it's true to say that Jesus' ministry on earth was relatively easy up until the Garden of Gethsemane. But his faithfulness took him far beyond that all the way to the cross. If we are truly loving God with all our hearts, our minds and our souls, if we are truly disciples of Jesus, then we'll go as far as when it starts to be difficult, when it starts to hurt. And then we'll go further. Why? God deserves the best from you. Because the human beings around you that need to know about God's love won't know about it unless you tell them. I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus' words to the Father in John 17. For the glory of God and for the benefit of all the people you come in contact with. Words of Paul, the one thing that's required of servants is that they are faithful. It's all that God's asking you to do. Keep on keeping on, someone I once knew used to say. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master. Notice how this is all about an attitude of the heart. If you understand what God has done for you, if you have a heart centered on God, it's obvious what you will do. Pray yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians. Particular example to the Hebrew Christians, that's something they had done. And the writer says, I know you've done this. God knows you've done this. He won't forget it. Amazing promise. God knows what you've done. And obviously the very famous words from Matthew. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. If you take some time to look back at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 onwards, the section about church being one body, some excellent stuff in there about how the whole body needs every other part of the body. It doesn't work when parts are missing. Doesn't work when parts aren't doing their bit. I think it's blatantly obvious that you can't have a church that functions without people doing different things and everybody pulling together. Rick Warren uses the illustration in the book that if the liver decided to stop working and have some time off, the body wouldn't survive very long. Probably about 3 days at a rough guess. You're important. You have a job to do. God has called you to do that. It's interesting talking about William Wilberforce and showing the picture of the slave trade. It reminded me of the castle at Cape Coast in Ghana, where I went 3 years ago. They had the same graphic of the slave trade. If ever you find yourself in Ghana, you must go to Cape Coast Castle. It's one of the most moving places on earth. It's stunning. It's the center of the slave trade for what was the Gold Coast, Ghana. All the slaves were gathered together there, chained to the wall, waiting for the ships. It is an overwhelmingly depressing place in ways. And a very moving sign at the gate that goes out to the sea, the gate of no return. Slaves never came back to their homeland. They either died in the crossing or died in the Americas. That is the reality of the slave trade that William Wilberforce stopped. Because he understood that serving God meant doing something about it. He understood that he couldn't sit by and let it happen. He understood that because he was in Parliament, because he had the voice, he had a job to do in that place. Now, it's very difficult for me to give practical application to each one. There are a few things like not criticizing, comparing, being faithful, having the right attitude of heart. But I don't know what your ministry is. It's my job to work out what mine is. And you may decide that it's not preaching, but that's another matter. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you as an individual, that's what you should be doing. I think the use of ministry fair is a very good idea. It's a good chance to get ideas of what's going on, where the needs are. If you see a need and you can do something about it, what's stopping you? If you see a need and you know that's not for you, don't go anywhere near it. God wants you doing what you're best at, what he's given you natural abilities for, what he's given you spiritual gifts for, what he has called you to. And whatever God has called you to, you won't expect you to do it on your own. Each one should use whatever gifts he's received to serve others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the immense privilege of being part of your work. Thank you that you've called each of us to specific tasks that you want us to do. And thank you that you won't leave us alone and you'll support us and carry us through. Show us what it is you have in mind for us, Lord. Lead us into the works you want us to do. We ask this in the name of your Son and for his glory. Amen.